Blog Talk Radio.
Charlie.
I'm here. Hello. What is going on? I love it.
Hey, you take the show away. I'm just your control board tonight.
Awesome. Well, you stay right where you are. This is so cool. We actually figured out that we could both co-host through the internet. It is like a new adventure here on our show, so we're quick and excited. We actually both logged in as hosts at the same time, and we both have the chat room up. Do you still have your chat room up?
I do.
And you have the switchboard up too, right?
The switchboard. Wow, we're both signed in as you.
I'm telling you. It's funny because there's like ordinary woman co-host and then ordinary woman, so we haven't figured out who's who. No, but it's exciting because this is, I don't know if Mountain Man realizes, we've actually been on the air a whole month.
I was just going to ask about that. We have, haven't we? Wow.
Yes, we have. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? Like, I'm so excited because, you know, this is something we've been wanting to do for a while, and we finally said, okay, let's see what happens. Let's see where it goes, and it's been amazing. It's been a month. Actually, September 20th was our first show.
Really? September
20th?
Yes.
September 20th was our first show, so it's been a whole month. Happy month day to us. Instead of birthday, it's month day. Happy month day to us. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really excited and we're growing. Our numbers are growing. We're up to over 1,000 listeners. I'm just like so excited and it's cool. I wish we could get more people into the chat room, but that's okay because we have them listening and they've actually embedded their little player into their websites and stuff. So we have regular listeners that tune in and it's just real cool.
That is awesome.
Yes, it's real awesome. So, Mountain Man, what have you been up to? I heard a funny little rumor that you're eating toast for dinner. What is up with that?
Yes, I am. I am. I was eating toast today and to supper because I have red meat and the doctors have asked me not to eat red or they've asked me not to eat red meat right now because of my surgery that I'll be having. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I heard some noise on the signal. That's why I was asking.
Nope, I'm still here, attentively listening to your story about what the doctor told you, considering we had this conversation 2 years ago, did we not?
Yes, we did, and it is finally taking place in about 2 weeks.
Yes, finally, yeah. I know, because we talked about it. I mean, we all have the tendency to have bad eating habits.
Yeah.
And I said, Chris, you got to cut back off that red meat. Finally, the doctor said, Chris, you need to back off the red meat. So, of course, the doctor trumps ordinary woman, even though I happen to think that I know a lot of things. Obviously, the doctor knows a heck of a lot more than I do. And he has all the diplomas and the school loans to prove it. So I'm glad
Wow.
you finally listened to him.
Well, hey, we all have to do something, so.
Yes, we do. So I'm glad that you're listening to them and you're getting healthy. Although I don't think having toast for dinner is too healthy.
No, well,
but it's
hey.
Better than the red meat, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Now, you guys actually held the show down for me on Wednesday because
yes,
I was
did.
At the premiere for Scalpers, the movie.
And how was that premiere?
Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. I'm not used to the environment the way they did it because I'm usually used to premieres being actually in a movie theater. And this is actually held in a nightclub. It was kind of like a combination nightclub sports bar kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing was that they have, like, millions of TV screens all over the place. So they showed the movie on every single screen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that
it was
is interesting.
Cool. Yeah,
I thought it would have
been
in a movie theater.
Yeah, no, the only reason, well, I like that idea. I like the concept. The only thing I did not like was the fact that people forgot they were watching a movie and would talk at normal voices instead of, you know, in the movie theater you have the tendency to keep your voice down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, they didn't do that. They were talking at full level. And, of course, they were excited when one of their buddies would be in the scene, and I thought that was great. But it made it kind of hard to hear the whole dialogue. But the cool thing was because they were doing a fundraiser for the South Boston Basketball Academy. They actually, when you paid the money to get in, they actually gave you a T-shirt and a DVD of the actual movie.
Wow.
Yeah, so I actually have a copy of the DVD, and I get to watch the movie in the privacy of my own home so I can hear it. And it was a really good movie. I'm telling you, it was great. I mean, I like the very visual, and I like
right.
the way he did it. It looks very gritty, kind of like, you know those documentaries where they follow people around?
Yep.
Yeah, it's
yep.
not actually filmed that way, but that's what the actual visual looks like, the way they film the film itself, the screen, and it's real cool. It's very gritty, and I loved it. I really liked the way they did it. And a couple of plot twists in the movie that were real cool, and Jay just did an amazing job. I cannot say enough about this young man. Not only is he just a great actor, but he's just a great person. I mean, the whole time he just wanted to make sure everybody was having a good time and they enjoyed themselves, and I'm telling you, it's got to be challenging for someone like him because basically everybody wants a piece of him, not in a bad way, you know, in a good way, because people wanted to talk to him and congratulate him and
mm-hmm.
let him know how proud they were of him. But it's got to be tough. Not only that, oh, my goodness, I got to tell you guys and the listeners, Jay Giannone, a lot of people might not know, is actually a rapper, too. So he got up there and he rapped. Oh, my goodness, it was awesome because a couple of the movies that he actually wrote the songs as well for the sound screen on the movie, for the tracks.
Right.
Very talented young man, so we got to listen to him. He had a couple of his buddies perform, and, of course, for those of you that aren't familiar with them, they have Louis Bello and his sister. Oh, my goodness, they're amazing, a couple of singers, and they're just great. I mean, I love Louis, and I love his sister, and she's going to kill me because I just blanked out on her first name. But I just had a brain cramp. Oh, no. But anyway, you guys can Google them, the Bellos, Louis Bello. He was a finalist on a couple of the reality shows that had competitions for singing. He's really getting his thing done, really great guy, and I loved him, you know, down to earth. So, yeah, it was real good time. A lot of people. We had probably over 300 people show up.
Wow. That
mm-hmm.
is a lot of people.
It was a lot of people, and it was really amazing like, to have them there and just to have them come out and support. The kids went around, and they were collecting money for the academy, so it was good to actually get to see some of the kids that were there.
Yeah.
The young man in the movie that, oh, he killed it, too. He plays one of the younger brothers of one of the people in the movie, and he just did a great job. I mean, just to see his acting ability and stuff was really cool. So, yeah, it was a great time. Tonight's guest is Jeff Sullivan, and I don't know where he is. I don't know if he had a conflict or he forgot about me or I don't know what happened. But anyway, well, man, it might just be the two of us right now.
Hey, that's fine with me.
I know, because we have so much stuff to cover, but, I mean, I kind of feel bad because Jeff, you know, I hope he didn't forget about me. See, that's what happens when you book appointments, like, way ahead of time, and I kind of emailed him a while ago, but I guess he forgot about me. But that's okay.
At least we got the show.
Yes, we have the show up and running. You guys did a great job. You guys are cracking me up, you and Jenna. I swear to goodness, she's so funny. I mean, you know, she's like, why is it that it's a woman show? And, yeah, you guys are doing it. Oh, I was dying.
Oh, that
was
too funny. That was really
funny. It was pretty funny because I was wondering how long before she actually caught on to that. I was like, oh, man, Jenna's a riot. Actually, I wanted to say, Jenna, the show's the Diamond in the Rough show, and Diamond in the Rough can be both male and female. So that's kind of cool. Yeah,
well, you said it now, so hopefully she's listening.
Yes. So actually, the Diamond in the Rough show. I know, you can't forget about Ordinary Woman, because that's the reason for my name. It's an oxymoron. Because someone asked me that. They're like, well, you're not really that ordinary, so why do you call the show that? And I'm kind of like, yeah, well, that's kind of the running joke, that we're not really ordinary people. You can grab any person on the street and guaranteed they have done something out of the ordinary. They just don't realize it because they just get so caught up with extraordinary people having to be in the news or having awards or all this other stuff. So, yeah, not so. There's always somebody there that has done something amazing. They just really don't share it that much. So, yes, no. Today, actually, do you remember what it is, Mountain Man?
What's no.
Today's what Fearless
is
Friday.
It's Fearless
Friday.
Friday. Well,
that's why I dumped the show on you last week, is I thought it would be wicked cool just to have you not be fearful, go out there and do it, because I know you've been wanting to do your own show.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about it and thinking about it.
Yeah, well, you know, see, that's the thing. You don't want to think about it. Just do it.
Yeah, and you put it right in my lap, which was fine. Which was fine.
See, that's the funny thing with you, Chris. You're the type, not only is it funny, for the listeners that don't know, he's the type that he'll be like hemming and hawing about doing stuff for himself. But then the funny thing is that the minute you ask him for a favor, he doesn't think twice about doing it.
That's true. That is very true. I'm one of those ones that will, if you need help, I'll be glad to help. But lately I've been accepting a lot of the help that I have needed, which has been a long time in coming, believe it or not.
Yes, now, and that's the thing that Chris and I actually had this conversation a while ago. I don't know if you remember, but one of the things that because I have the same problems sometimes, Chris and I are a lot alike. One of the things that I am the same way. I sometimes have a difficult time asking for help because I don't want to be a nuisance. I don't want to be inconveniencing anybody. So it's hard. But I remember this elderly lady said to me, she's like, she's so cute because she's like this real soft-spoken lady. And then all of a sudden she says to me, who the hell do you think you are denying me my right of blessings? And I almost fell out of the chair because I'm like, what? Hello, where did that voice come from? Because she's always like, you know, everybody's grandmother baking cookies and stuff. And
she says,
she's like, because every time someone does something nice for you, if they do it with a pure heart and sincere intent, obviously they're going to get blessings or karma or however you want to call it. And every time you say no, it doesn't give them the opportunity to get those blessings in return. So you're actually taking away from them. And I had never thought of it that way.
What the heck? I'm just sitting here copying and pasting something, and it didn't take everything I highlighted.
No, it's on there. I can see it. It said, our guest tonight is director, cinematographer, editor, and producer Jeff Sullivan, who isn't here, by the way. He must have forgotten about me, but that's okay, Jeff. I will remind you, and we will have you back on the show at a later date. But yeah,
yes,
we have
and
actually
we will also
of
have to have Jenna back on the show.
Oh, Jenna, Jenna's scary. Jenna's a scary girl in a good way because she's so humble. Did you hear her like, well, I'm not really doing anything. I'm not really doing much. I'm like, okay, you know, and it's funny because if you listen to her as she went on with the show, well, I'm actually teaching myself to play guitar, and I'm also, like, helping my boyfriend with his business, and I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm opening for this act who's an award winner, and so it was just so funny. I'm like, yeah, she's not doing a thing, right?
Jenna was funny, and she cracked me up a couple times.
Oh, yeah,
but,
she's pretty funny.
Her and, who was it there?
L.A. Fresh, yes.
Yes, he was awesome. He really was. So they have to come back on.
They do. He's also very funny because Jenna's the more outgoing. Not that they're both not outgoing, but she's the more vocal one.
Mm-hmm.
And L.A.'s funny because when you see him and he just looks like this quiet little kid. And the funniest thing I got to share with our listeners, we did a show a while back. Jenna actually was performing with Cardiac and a couple of other people. And L.A. Fresh was not performing that day, but he was supposed to be up on stage with them. And the funniest thing was that our buddy Peter, shout out to Peter Maynard, he's one of our bodyguards that works when we do big shows for security. And if you met L.A., he's not really that short, but he's very light, like scrawny.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter is this, you know, former MP. He did like a million tours in Iraq. He was in Bosnia. He was in Afghanistan. I mean, he was all over the world in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So here's L.A. going to jump up on stage, and I swear to goodness, if you can visualize this, Peter grabbed him in midair. Like, literally plucked him out of the air.
Oh, wow.
Yes. All he saw was a guy jumping on stage, and he's got the two singers, and he's not so much worried about Cardiac because he knows Cardiac can take care of himself, but he's more concerned with making sure the girls are safe. So
right.
They're in the middle performing, and then you see this kid just jumping up on stage, and he thought he was some kid crashing because he didn't really get a good look at him because it was kind of dark. And I swear, I started dying because he caught him in midair. Like, he just, L.A. just jumped up, and next thing you know, Peter had him by the waist and had swung him around and put him in front of him. And then Cardiac's like, no, 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 he's okay. And then Peter kind of looked at him and went, oh, my God, it's you, L.A., my bad. And he just picked him up and... At insult to injury, right, he picks him up and just plops him on stage like he's a two-year-old. And L.A.'s like, okay, so you just, yeah, you just killed my swagger in front of like 200 people, but that's okay. Oh, man. But it was precious because the rest of the night, trust me, no one wanted to pick with Peter because they realized that Peter was no joke. Peter was on the money, and he was strong, and he knew how to do it just right. So people were not going to be messing with the girls. They left them alone. The rest
wow.
of the night. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Before L.A., I was like, yeah, it was pretty funny. I was like, dude, I am so sorry. He's like, nope, it's my fault. He's like, I should have just tapped him so he could have seen my face instead of just jumping up. He's like, it didn't even dawn on me that you guys have the security team out there.
Right, right. And I have to say this. The fashion show / show that I went to, and
mm-hmm.
I'm talking, and this was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
That I was invited to a show over at the brewery.
Yes.
And that show was awesome. I have to say that show was very good, and everything that they've done went off without a hitch. I'm like,
you know, it's funny. It is. We've been very blessed. I mean, there's been glitches, don't get me wrong. For our listeners that don't know, anytime you try to organize an event, it's like something always happens, some drama, something happens, the sound system. Like that particular day you're talking about, one of the mics went out on the monitor, and we're like, oh, my goodness. Because now what happens is you get in the feedback. So the guy that was a DJ, literally, you can tell when someone has good connections because they literally got a new sound system in there in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know, and they were telling us that night too, is they had just gotten a new soundboard in there, and I'm like, wow, with
they
what
did. They
had
because,
to do,
mm-hmm.
they were fantastic. They got everything together, and I know I was there plenty early enough with Marguerite,
mm-hmm.
my girlfriend, and we were just sitting there. We had a bite to eat before the show. But we wanted to make sure that we got there, got a parking spot, and I was able to get into the building.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that room was filled to the brim. I mean,
so packed.
And I just was like, and I wanted to make sure I went up and said hi to Jay-Z and everybody and.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know, hey, you did an awesome job, because it's like, hey. So it was just...
No, they did. They did a great job. And like I said, just with the fact... And the funny thing is that we had a sound system, a sound check, like a few hours. Everything was fine. Everything worked great. They went through the audition, you know, through the rehearsals without a glitch. And then I swear to goodness, when the DJ was getting everything ready for the show, it just, the whole system went down. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. It went down, and then it was great that, I mean, I'm looking at him like, are you freaking kidding me? This kid got a whole new system in there in less than 20 minutes.
Which was awesome. I mean, believe me, I'm surprised they got a system in there that quickly, and they got a place that rented that stuff very quickly. So, I mean, that was awesome.
It wasn't even that. Do you know that he didn't even rent it? What wound up happening is he actually called a friend of his who was also a DJ, and he wound up lending him extra equipment.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever they
did. So that goes, yeah.
that show, I'm like, I want to come to more of these. That's how good it was. And I'm very picky at shows and what shows to go to and everything. Because, mind you, I don't like loud music. I don't like heavy music. But that type of show, I would not mind going to again if it was in the local area. I mean,
right, because of that's the thing is the boys are really big on not only because we're very big on the visual. I mean, it's great, and I'll be honest, I was not a big fan of rap at the beginning because back in the day when rap first started coming, it was very different. There was a lot of underground stuff, and you know when the kids were younger when they started hitting their own vibe around 14 or 15, some of the stuff they listened to was kind of heavy-handed, and I wasn't too particularly fond of it. Obviously, mm-hmm. there are other types of rap and stuff, but the boys have this mix of rap with R&B and the singing and the dancing and the show and that. So that actually makes a big difference for the entertainment factor. And unfortunately, it's sad to say a lot of venues are just not made for live concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Because the acoustics aren't that great. So you would have to be like the most incredible singer to even come off sounding halfway decent. So the problem is when you have a venue with a lot of people and not great acoustics, it really takes away a lot from the rap part of it because in rap you're trying to portray a story with the music. So sometimes if the sound system isn't that good, it sounds out muffled, it doesn't come off the way you want it to. And again, if you don't have a visual with either choreography or dancing, after a while, it just kind of seems like it's repetitive and it's the same thing. Even though it's not, it's just because of the acoustics. So you lose a lot of it.
Right,
and that's
right.
Why it was big the way they did it. And it's always worked. And we mix up a lot of things with it, a lot of different genres in the rap game as well. So it has been very successful for them. It really has.
Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what you mean, Charlie, by operating the sound system because, believe it or not, I used to run a sound system back in when I was in school, and I loved it. And
I remember you telling me that. Yes,
and
that's
anytime
right.
I can get the help in that type of situation, I'm happy. As long as I have something I can help out in, believe me, I'm so happy to be able to do it. And it's just after this procedure, I'll be able to get back out there and be able to do things like that.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing because people don't realize that there's just so much that goes into it and so many things that go wrong at the last minute. Oh, man, it's nuts. But it's fun once you can sit back and see the final product.
Mm-hmm.
And if people like the show, it's even better.
Yeah, and having somebody else who knows what the heck is going on just helps the show to even go off even better. Just to have a second pair of hands to operate the system or even just to be out there and listen and kind of give the sound person, hey, pick it up here, pick it up there. But hey, that show went off like a hitch. And I'd love to see more, even Cardiac.
Actually,
I'd love to even see Cardiac come out. And I'd love to be able to go to one of his shows.
Actually, he has a show coming up, but that's actually next month, so you're not going to be able to go to that one. But we actually, because of your surgery, but there's actually a few more that's coming up. So once you're on the mend, we're definitely going to take you down and make sure you get a look at one of his shows because they do a lot. There's a couple of events coming up, too, with the Mass Industry Committee. They do a music industry committee. They do a lot of stuff in Boston. It's kind of like the Boston Music Awards.
Right,
and Cardiac is involved with that as well. And it's just a lot of things up and coming now to get more unity in the music. Because what it is in Massachusetts in particular, and even in the New England area, there's so much talent, but it's very scattered because we're not at a point in time where we're totally organized yet. And unfortunately, a few years ago, I'm going to say about maybe 10 or 15 years ago, when rap was first coming up, there was a lot of animosity and a lot of competition. And sadly, it wasn't so much coming from the artists, but coming from the couple of people that were in power, so to speak. They were like the agents or the promoters. And they were very clicky because they were more about making a fast buck. So a lot of young artists really got taken for a ride, and that was really sad.
Well, it looks like we might have somebody in the queue here.
You want to pick that up?
I'm going to pick it up.
Awesome.
Good evening.
Cool, like.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Jeff?
Good. This is Jeff Sullivan calling in.
Thank you, Jeff. Hey, how are you? This is Charlie. Nice to you to join us.
Thank you for reminding me.
You know, I was sitting here, Jeff, that's Mountain Man, he's my co-host. I was just sitting there going, I'm wondering, because I know you have like a million things going on. Like, let me send him a little email in case he forgot about me. Oh, my goodness. So Jeff, we're doing good. We're doing real good. We were just talking a little bit about the music industry in the New England area. And it's funny because I know that you actually have done some work doing some music videos up in the Great Woods of Maine, and you do some great work. Jeff, let me go right into it because I have a lot of questions for you, and our listeners are kind of interested in finding out a little bit more about you. So, Jeff, originally, how did you get into the film industry, and what interested you in getting into that?
I still install video surveillance, and the more I would get video surveillance for the cops, I would start editing it up so that way they could say, oh, well, the robber's here, the robber's there, you know, so they could follow the robber going throughout the building.
That's awesome.
And so they said, well, you know what, maybe you should go into editing and filming or something like that because you're doing a really good job for us. And that's what, you know, made me turn around.
That's
awesome.
So it originally started from that. Now, how many years ago was that?
4.5-5 years ago.
Wow, you've come a long way in such a short time, industry-wise.
Thank you.
Now, you started doing that. What was your first project that you got involved with as far as not surveillance?
The first project was a training video for the company that I work for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually Scott Grass and myself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I had never really done anything like this before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you do enough video surveillance and, you know, you think to yourself, well, I can do this.
And, I know.
You know, being a yes man, you know, you just, yeah, I can do it. Although you have
no idea
what you're doing.
Yeah. What were you thinking?
So yeah, you know, had I known, you know, what kind of power that, you know, it can hold over you, you know, I wouldn't have tried to push it away at first.
Uh-huh.
You know,
no,
because
because you what?
You know, because. You know, when you first start off as, you know, in a hobby, you know how much money you're going to end up spending.
Right.
So I was like, wow, you know, this could get dangerous.
Tell me about it. It's funny because I totally relate to you because I'm like that now where I've gotten into the photography and I do promotions online for people. So now I'm looking at my laptop. My husband's like, this is going to cost me a lot of money, isn't it? Because it's not like running where you go out and, okay, you spend $200 on a pair of shoes if you want the real top of the line, but mostly you just go and run.
Right.
You know, you buy the clothes and then if you do the road races or whatever, that kind of, but when it starts talking about filming, I mean, can you give us an idea of what kind of equipment you're looking at and that kind of stuff?
Well, the first training video was just a little tiny handheld camera.
Mm-hmm.
And right after I got done doing that, that took about 6 weeks to do because, you know, I had to work it also. So we edited it up and we got such rave reviews on it.
That's awesome.
That I immediately, you know, I went out and bought a $3,500 HD camera, high definition camera. So at that point, I knew, you know, it was very dangerous.
Yes. Yes. And if the listeners don't understand Jeff, Jeff's the type that he's a little bit of a perfectionist. When he does stuff, he wants to make sure it's done right, which is great in the film industry because you need that. You need that eye for detail and stuff. But he also wants to have the equipment and not have to deal with renting it or borrowing
it
or that kind of stuff. So you definitely... This man is dedicated, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes, but he's very dedicated to his craft. So You went out and bought this camera, and then what did you do with it?
Well, right after I bought the camera, Scott Grass and I, we formed a little company called Forsaken Films.
Mm-hmm.
And we started filming Resident Evil, a remake of Resident Evil.
Cool.
And so, you know, I had never even thought about, you know, going out in the woods and spending 18 hours a day, you know, for 3 months, 3-4 months straight out in the woods. And although that project never was completed and finished, it is completed, but we, you know, we can't release it because, you know, we're no longer a company anymore.
Right.
And there's rights that go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had never edited gunshots or, you know, overlaid gunshot sounds or, you know, did any special effects, let alone, you know, explosions and things like that. And, you know, a lot of blood, corn
syrup.
And
people don't, right. And the thing is, people don't realize how much work and time goes into it, because you could do it and it's going to be like, okay, that guy's got ketchup or corn syrup all over him, or that was some guy in the background going bang instead of a real bullet.
Right.
For actually to have the editing, because people, that's another thing people don't understand. Even if you have all the money that Hollywood does, there's still a lot that goes into making that bullet sound real. I mean, you can have the blanks and everything, and you can have all the bells and whistles, but it's still the editing and how you put everything together that's going to make it real.
Well, because we live up in Maine, and, you know, guns are prevalent up in Maine, I decided to take my, I have a few military rifles.
Yeah, just a couple.
Which you've seen. And I actually went out and popped off a whole bunch of rounds,
mm-hmm.
and recorded it at the same time. So those are the rounds that we used in the movie, except
That's
for the
awesome.
The handgun sounds.
Right.
We had to scour the web.
Uh-huh.
And some video games, once you you know, you hack the sound bites out of the video games, because they
mm-hmm.
have some really good sound, but
right.
And you know, you try and find what you can, you know, as cheap as you can.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh.
It's funny too, because even like when I help the boys out with their video, because you know my son's in the music thing. Trying to scour. Like costumes and making sure that everything gets put into place. You sit there and go, you get very creative after a while. You get very creative into making things look like what they're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to think outside of the box.
Oh, it's funny. That's why people, sometimes when me working as an actor, people look at me like, you know, they don't understand how I can think that way where, oh, this would make a great set for this, or that dress could be turned into that, you know, and they're just looking at me like, oh, you're so creative. No, I'm not that creative. It's just necessity creates that, because when you're trying to make a great video and you want it to look like something Michael Jackson would pay for, but you have $50
right.
in your pocket, you get very creative very quickly.
So how many times do you watch a music video, a professional music video, and, you know, you watch the video a little bit, but you watch it
mm-hmm.
differently?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I'm telling you, Jeff, it's funny. It kind of ruined it for me.
Same thing with movies.
Absolutely
wow.
ruined it. I ruined it for everybody else, because this past summer we were very blessed. We got to work on The Grown-Ups I actually got to work on it with three of my boys and one of their best friends and my niece, because they had this huge barbecue scene. And we all got picked to be in it because they were looking for families. And the funny thing is, because of the weather and all that, we wind up working on this set for 5 weeks, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
When it comes to Hollywood and the type of things. And I'm telling you, it just took my boys say, Mom, I cannot watch a movie anymore without, they're not looking at the actors. They're looking at the background. They're
right.
looking at the continuation. They're picking up stuff like, okay, the actor's name is Tony, but he got a tattoo that says Dan on his back. Because they don't, you know what I mean? The little details and stuff that now pops out at them. And it's just, it's totally ruined. It's fun, but it ruins it for you because you're constantly in that mind frame. So, Jeff,
Oh, I look at camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always looking for, you know, like a really long, smooth shot or, you know, how'd they make that camera angle? And then I think it out in my head.
Oh, it is. It's crazy. I know for me, too, because the photography, because I love doing it. You know, I'm an amateur, but I love taking pictures. It's always the same thing, the lighting. How can I get the lighting to look this way? How can I get this to do that? Or pick up little details. And It's fun. It is. It's fun if you like it, but not if you're anal like me, because then it's like, no, wait, I want to do it this way. And then you sit there for an hour editing one picture. And then people say to you? And then people are like, oh, my gosh, that is so great. I saw you take that picture. It took you 2 seconds.
It also depends on how much Photoshop you want to use.
Oh, I know.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah, or if you're up in the real world, Final Cut Pro, if you're doing video. You know, oh, yeah, I know. I haven't gotten that. I haven't convinced my husband that I'm that good yet.
Well, you know, now that you mention Final Cut Pro, I had seen a forum where they were talking about Final Cut Pro and Adobe Premiere, you know, two major heavy hitters.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was using Sony Vegas 8 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I chimed in because that's all they were talking about was, oh, you can't be a good editor unless you're, you know, using one of these programs. And, you know, I went in and I said, well, you know, if you can't make a good cut from Windows Movie Maker free that comes with, you know, Windows, then how do you think, you know, a high-end editing software is going to help you?
You know, that is so true, and I had a great example of that because I was kind of that way too because I'm so new to all of this, and I do love being in front of the camera, but I absolutely love the creative process. And with my son being in school now as a filmmaker, because that's what he's going to school for, I've been able to pick up a little. Yeah, that's what one of my youngest is going to school for. So one of the things that got me was what you just said, where he was saying that. He's like, and it's funny for him to say that. He's like, if you can't make the shot look good in two or three takes, and if you can't create something with nothing, what difference? He's like, the only thing the expensive equipment is going to do is show the fact that you don't know what you're doing even more.
Right.
And it blew my mind because when he first said it, I thought it was kind of negative of him, like, oh, aren't we the snot? But in reality, he did have a valid point because as an example, Ahura Z in Maine, when he made his first movie, Anna Korea, that thing was like he even says it. He said it was masking tape and a prayer because he had the old computer and he was using the Windows program. Yeah, it was very stressful. He did have a couple of glitches here and there, but he actually was able to put a product together that you're sitting there going, wow, if he was able to do it with that free program, like you said, imagine what more he can do with an actual program that would make it easier. So, yeah, you're absolutely right with that. I mean, that a lot of people rely too heavily on the expensive equipment and the expensive editing programs. But the reality is, if you don't have the footage and you don't have the story to put together, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on that. It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Now,
and everybody has corn syrup in their, you know, in their house, so making blood is very easy.
It is. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I remember one time the kids decided when they were younger they were going to make a movie, and they got everybody involved. And I remember for a week and a half they were driving us crazy in the house doing this. And finally my husband says, you know, I'm going to volunteer and be the cameraman because he didn't want them to break the camera or my cruiser because at the time I had my cruiser still and they wanted to use it for a couple of shots. The funniest thing is like, okay, it's a week and a half later. We have this finished product. They think it's the next blockbuster. 5 minutes later, the movie's over and they're like, that's it? That's all we got after a week and a half?
After a week's worth of filming. Yeah, well, you know, it's like the movie that we're almost finished shooting. You know, we have well over 500 gigabytes of high-definition footage.
Wow,
you know,
crazy.
That's like 40 hours of footage.
Yeah.
And you got to condense that down to, you know, an hour and a half.
It's mind-boggling, and they were sitting there, and I mean, and they weren't, and these were kids, it was a summer vacation, so they weren't exactly like only filming for an hour or two. I mean, they were going like all day to get the shots right and to do it, and, you know, they were creating the story as they went, you know, on the fly kind of thing, but it really gave them perspective of the fact that we spent a week and a half, 10, 12 hours a day, and they got 5 minutes. And that's how it is. People don't realize the time and effort that goes into it. So you actually, Jeff, you went from that movie, Resident Evil, which wasn't able to be released. And what was your next project?
The next one was another fan film, G.I. Joe. And
I actually saw parts of that. I liked that. That was actually good. There were some parts in there I liked.
That's when, you know, I've been in bands, you know, playing out live and stuff. I've been playing since I was 12, and, you know, it always seemed like everybody wanted to play somebody else's music.
Right.
And I was always the one who went from band to band to band, let's just cut and play our own music. Because no matter what you play, if it's somebody else's music, you know, you're only as good as somebody else's music. But once you make your own, it shows how creative you are. So I left Forsaken Films for that reason.
See, I totally agree with you that too. That's one of the things that, again, with the boys being in the music, they like doing their own stuff. And one of the problems that they ran into early on in their career was people not being honest when they're like, okay, was this sampled and is it cleared? And for the listeners that don't understand, when you're doing music, if someone is creating a beat for you, if they're borrowing, I don't care if it's 16 bars from someone else's music, it has to be cleared through them because it's no longer original. Even if it sounds totally different, that's no longer an original soundtrack. So it doesn't matter what you do with it. So that was a big problem that they ran into, finding a beat maker that was able to do original stuff. Another thing that Uhura does, which I like about the fact, is the same with you. He likes doing his own music. And it was funny because they actually did a short film for the film festival, 48-hour film festival. And I found it funny where it says, do you have clearance for the movies? And they're like, well, it's our own movie. It's our own music. And he's like, well, you still have to sign a release. So he's sitting there going, I, Uhura Z, give Uhura Z permission to use this movie in Uhura Z's film. And I'm like dying because he's giving himself permission, but they're not used to that. And they're looking at him like, what do you mean it's your own music? Do you own it? No, we have a studio. We wrote it. We created the music, the lyrics. Funny. I wish I had a camera going because it was one of those reality TV moments where he had to explain it for 10 minutes that it's our own music. I don't mean I bought the CD. I mean I built it, created it. So,
yeah,
I mean, I understand. I'm telling you, Jeff, I understand totally where you're coming from with that, and that actually would be a big point because I think having your own music adds so much more to the film.
Yeah. Well, that's what Dave and I do with New England Exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we create our own music. But we have been known to go out and purchase music that we can use, but we can't sell on an individual basis.
Right. Now, you want to explain a little bit what that Northern Exposure is?
New England Exposure?
Yeah, New England Exposure.
New England Exposure is we expose talent for free. You could be a painter, you could be a dancer, musician, actor, and we have you come on the show and we do a big interview. For actors, we do a little skit. And
That was a shocker and a half.
That was off the, and what we like is, you know, we like just maybe, an idea of a script, and then we like shooting it off of the cuff, but doing very good, camera angles and editing, and, so far, they've come out pretty well.
I'm telling you, I have gotten so many compliments on the skit you guys did with me that it's great. I even actually put it up on the web, but it was funny for our listeners that don't know. Oh, my goodness. I am like the most mistrusting person just because if it's a new, I mean, it's a safety thing, you don't know these people, you don't know whatever, always bring them.
Yeah.
So I wind up going to this interview and I don't know what I was thinking. Here I am, I'm, city girl going to the woods of Maine, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me going, I'm going here by myself. I do not know these people from the hole in the wall. The only reason I even contemplated it was because Bill McLean's like, no, they're cool. So I'm, okay, Bill McLean gave it his blessing. I trust Bill. Now I'm driving up and down the street, and I'm like, okay, I don't see any signage. I don't see anything remotely looking like a studio. And I'm parked down, and, of course, they gave me the number to call, so I'm calling Jeff, and no one's picking up. And then I drive by again, and, of course, I see this house, and there's these two guys with a pickup truck and a dog, and they're sawing the heck out of wood. I'm not going in there. I saw, you know, Chainsaw Massacre. I saw all some horror movies that usually start with two guys with saws in the front lawn and the dog. And so I'm like, no, I'm good.
And little
like,
did you know we were building a set.
I know. It was so funny. And to make a long story short, I wound up going to another audition. And Eric Eastman, another actor that was going to be on the show, he wound up getting lost, too. So we wound up hooking together over there, and we wound up going together to the to your place, and that's when we figured out, oh, you guys are tearing the house up to make it into a set. Oh, man, it was hysterical. And then Jeff says to me, like, man, you'd appreciate this. He says to me, well, you should have just came in. I was like, are you crazy? I'm a city girl, and I'm not packing heat. I'm not going in there. I've seen horror movies. The minority goes in. They do not come out. No. This chickie is not going in there by herself. And when I had Eric with me, Eric's like, well, what if they were like mass murderers? And I said, you know what? My chances were greater because I had you with me because you're like, you know, you in the movies, you make it. You're the tall, strong hero type.
Yeah.
So he actually makes it to the end. My type, they get killed during the credits. So that's like, no, yeah. I wanted to make sure. So it was so funny that David had actually written something totally different. And I swear to goodness, the skit just took a life of its own. I mean,
it was hysterical.
And then the lighting on it. I'm telling you, Jeff, when my boys saw that, I have to share this. The part where you had David with the light in the back of his head. They said to me, woman, whatever happens to you. Oh, yeah. They said to me, woman, whatever happens to you, you deserve for not staying in the dressing room. That'll teach you.
You know, we've also been told that a lot of people think that, well, that's their favorite skit that we've done.
Oh, that's
is that
funny.
One right there.
I'm telling you, and my boys were like, that's it? What happens next? Because they wanted to. I said, well, did you want to get me chopped up into little pieces? He was like, yeah, that would have been kind of cool. Oh, man, when you did that thing where, for our listeners, if they want to check it out, it's on YouTube, and it's actually on the www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, WMN, on there. It's actually on there, and it's also on Facebook and stuff. You guys can Google it, Silence of the Charlie. It was hysterical. There's a part where I'm walking, and there's all this stuff on the bureau, and then 2 seconds later, I turn around, and everything's gone. It just disappears, and I'm like, what the heck? And my boys, one of my sons is like, right there, I would have been out. I would have been, see you later. I would have ran all the way back to Massachusetts. The heck with the truck. No. And the music you guys put to it was just like, oh, man, it was hysterical.
Yeah, the creepy music makes it.
Wow.
So David made it. The way he's just standing there going, good evening, I was like, oh, hello. And I was there filming it, and when I saw it, it bugged me out.
Wow.
You know, he's actually doing a lot of radio stuff now.
Oh, is he really? He's my next target. I'm going to get him on the show because I love David. I mean, he was just so much fun to work with, and you guys, I mean, it was just a good time. Needless to say, my poor husband, I totally forgot that this was my first time going out there to me, and my phone died. This is a whole deal thing. I think I left Massachusetts, like it was like 7 in the morning because I was supposed to meet with you guys at 9. Wind up getting lost. Didn't wind up hooking with you guys till like 1 in the afternoon. And
I know.
You know, you guys are, yeah, I know, and you guys are like, well, we can do it now. You know what, I'm here. Might as well, you know, do Eric first, and then we'll do mine. Totally forgot to call my poor husband to tell him I'm still alive, everything's okay. It did not get back to him. Like, I think it was like 1 in the morning when I left your house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So next thing you know, I put the phone in the charger, and there was like 100 phone messages, and the funniest was the
thing
I gave. Oh, yeah. He was like, because everybody was worried about, I totally forgot to let anybody know that I was okay. And my poor husband was like, I thought I was going to have to, he's like, do I have to go to Maine and kick some Maine butt because I want to know where my wife is?
Yeah, come on down.
Oh, wow.
It was funny. Oh, my, man, I'm telling you, it was hysterical. And the funniest thing was that when he saw the video, he's like, yeah, that's pretty much about what I thought would happen to you at the time.
Gee, I have to look at these, I have to find these links and look at these videos myself now.
Oh, I'm telling you, go to YouTube. I got it up on Ordinary Woman, and if not, you can actually look on it on Facebook, and it's actually on the Blog Talk Radio website because I just thought it was hysterical. I mean, you did a great job. Now, Jeff, you guys are actually, you said you're wrapping up on, is this going to be your first full-length movie?
Well, the first one that will be released, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What
is it? Because
I worked on Scooter Magruder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starring Bill McLean.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Nicklin, which her name has changed, and I can't remember her last name. It has Wendy Olufsen.
Wendy, amazing. I love Wendy. She's such a great person. I got the opportunity to work with her on a trailer. Had a ball with her. She's awesome.
Actually,
the other two aren't awesome, too.
Everybody we run across is just, you know, fantastic. They give us their time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you can go to www.freighttrainfilms.com,
mm-hmm.
And you can actually click on current project and see everybody that's in the movie. And
for our listeners, the website link's actually up. If you go to the segment page, it's actually on there. It's www.freighttrainfilms.com, and you can click on it, and it'll take you right to the site so you can check out what Jeff's talking about. So, yeah, everybody that was in the film project, and you said, is up there?
Yep. And also, too, I hand-built the website from Photoshop.
Oh, I'm telling you, not only that.
It looked like this, it.
Now, the thing is, the listeners have to get a concept. Now, Jeff owns this house, the one I was talking about that bugged me out about going in because of the construction. Well, we went in there. He had just literally tore his house up to turn it into a set for the movie Scooter Magruder.
Yeah.
Not only that, you guys actually had one room that looked like a studio, like a audience studio where you can go and do interviews. You have the desk with the microphone and the chairs and everything set up, so it looked like a talk show.
Wow.
Yeah, big green screen.
It was amazing. You guys had the green screen. You had the cameras. You had the I don't even know what it is, the weight thing where you had the camera for the angles and stuff.
Yeah, a big camera jib. I have two of them. I have a 14-footer, mm-hmm. and I have a 4-footer, which allows me to get a lot of different angles.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Jeff loves the angles. And I mean, you are so good at it because I have to be honest. I've seen people that are crazy for angles. They don't look so good when they're put together. It kind of gives them that cheesy factor, you know, like really bizarre angles where you're looking at the top of someone's nose or something.
Yeah, we call those Batman angles.
Oh, I swear to goodness. There. I mean, it just, yeah, you know, it sounded cool in your head, dude, but somehow when the brain talked to the hand, and then it didn't work when it hit the camera. But you, I mean, I love your angles. It just, it adds a lot to it. I mean, it says a lot with the way you do it. Now, the other cool thing is while I was up there, when you guys were turning it into a set, Bill's wife was actually the creative force behind the set. I mean, she was making this house look like a house from the 70s. I mean, she just did a great job. She's another one.
Tiffany McLean is my right-hand man.
She is amazing. I love her. She's such a sweet person. I mean, she has to put up with Bill. Bill's a great guy, but he's like a math scientist. You know when you have twins and you leave them alone for a little bit and it gets wicked quiet? That's
mm-hmm.
kind of what it's like when Jeff and Bill are alone and it's quiet.
Oh,
you know
no.
Something's coming up. Oh, yeah, it's like that. And then you add Dave to the mix. You know something creatively evil is going to come out of there. It's going to be great, but it's going to be like... Oh, poor Steph's going to sit there and go, what the heck do I have to create now? Because obviously she's the one that, she's the backbone. I got to give it to her. She's the backbone. She keeps everything running, and she's just amazing.
Yes, she does.
Oh, I love her. She's just awesome. And like I said, not only that, she's such a sweet person. I mean, she's like the nicest person ever to meet and to talk to and stuff. So I'm really excited about Scooter Magruder because I have to tell our listeners, I got the privilege of being one of the few people to read the script way back in the day when Bill and I worked on Edge of Darkness.
Ah.
Jeff, I'm telling you, I was in holding and people would look at me like I was whiffing drugs because every 2 seconds I'd crack up laughing for no reason because they didn't know what I was doing and I couldn't help myself because it was just so funny. And you know Bill with that, Bill has this real cool like little boy goofy grin when he knows he did good.
Yeah.
He'd kind of look at me and give me the cheesy grin like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then he'd be like, what part do you want? And I'd tell him and he's like, oh yeah. That's the reaction I wanted. I'm like, oh, you got it. I mean, in the visuals, the great thing, too, is with you guys, the way Bill wrote it is exactly the way I visualize it, but it's also the way you guys created it. Just from what I've seen, I'm like, wow, it's going to be a great project.
Yeah, we have some test footage that's up, but we can't, you know, it's only for crew.
Right.
So that way we can, you know, visualize. There's a lot of things in the works.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is I've been handed director of cinematography for a new show coming out called Moose Bumps.
Really? Where is that out of?
That's out of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And Moose Bumps was originally a talk radio for kids. Scary for kids, you know.
Cool.
As adults, we'd be like, "Yeah, you know, that's not scary." But
yeah.
they want to turn it into a television series.
Oh wow!
And we have Eileen Daly, the Scream Queen from England. She's going to be filming her part in England.
Oh my gosh, that's
England,
awesome! Uh-huh.
And then shipping the footage to us, and then I will direct it and film it. But I won't be editing this time. You know.
Oh yeah, you're broken about that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you know how to do a lot of everything, people,
mm-hmm.
you know, they utilize that. You know, they don't have to outsource;
yep.
It's all in
house. Right, right.
But it creates a lot of stress.
I don't like editing at all. I made the mistake of doing one little tiny. I called it a video. My husband called it a slideshow. The very first video, the boys wanted to just get that song out, and I did a bunch of pictures, and we just set them to the music. And I swear to goodness, never again. It was brutal. And then on top of that, going, well, that's not really a video. It's a slideshow. I'm like, you know what? It's on video. It's a video. But it is. It's a lot of work. People don't realize how much goes into it. Just like even thinking that the vocals and getting everything to sound like it should. Yeah, it's a lot of work, Jeff. I got to give it to you because you do an amazing job with it.
Well, even more good news. Even more good news is three times my demo reel was requested by Bill Heinzman, Billy Graham.
Really?
And whatever they see, George
mm-hmm.
Romero sees. And
really?
Bill Heinzman was the original Night of the Living Dead, the first zombie.
Really?
And
wow.
So Chris Osgood created this script called Beauty's Only Skin Deep.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a horror. And Eileen Daly's going to be in it. She's
right.
flying down from England.
Mm-hmm.
Bill McLean is going to be in it. Vanessa Novak will be in it.
That's
and,
awesome.
And some other actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be, you know, hopefully I'll get the chance to work behind the scenes doing something. I don't care if I'm taping up cable.
You and me both. We sound so much alike. It's like, dude, I don't care if I take out the trash cans just as long as I get to be involved. We're so hooked. Oh. Jeff, I hate to rush you, honey, because the lady just went in my ear saying 90 seconds, so you owe me. This is the second time you've forgotten about me. I'm beginning to get a complex here.
I would love to come back.
Definitely got to have you back because I want to hear more about Scooter Magruder. Definitely want to hear more about Moose Bumps and about the project that's coming up also that you were just talking about because that sounds like an amazing. And I know Bill has another horror movie up his sleeve that's coming up.
Called Red Shirt.
So definitely. Oh, Red Shirt. We got to talk a little bit about that. So to our listeners, www.freighttrainfilms.com, or you can Google Jeff Sullivan. He's on Facebook. Where else are you on, Jeff?
Our Film Space.
That's right, Our Film Space and all that. So, Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show. We're definitely going to have you back. It means a lot that you are here. And Mountain Man, thank you for co-hosting and being in the room with me. I so appreciate you being in the booth and helping out.
Anytime.
Oh, I know. He's like, let's go. So thank you to our listeners. Have a great weekend. Remember, be fearless, be strong, and don't let anybody ever take your dreams away. All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving.